This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome, everybody. For those of you that don't know me yet, my name is Reinald Pieterse. I'm one of the older guys in church. I've been here a while. Mike, you're not very far behind. I heard you laughing. Yeah, there's Mike. So it's my privilege again this morning to bring you the Word of God. And I'm really looking forward to what God wants to do, because I've got a very easy sermon today and a very hard sermon at the same time. So JP, thank you for that. But it is just to finish off three-part sermon that we had, and it's pertaining to worship, whereas Josh shared on worship as a function, and JP shared on worship as a form. So now I've continued on that form from last week, where we've stopped worship, and we will have worship at the end of the service again, and there's a very specific reason for that as well, so bear with us. But in short, the summary of what the last couple of weeks pertain to, whereas Josh, if you can get your hand on his notes, it's really amazing notes. You can really learn a lot from that. You can almost start writing a book, Josh. It was really amazing to read through his notes and really look at it. But the heart of it basically was that worship is a response to who God is. And it's a choice that the way in which we worship is our choice. Because we have to stand before God that created everything, and everything that we see, that created us for who we are and what we're doing and for what he wants us to do. And when we see what he's doing in our lives, there will be a response. So if your life is according to the word and what you see in the word and what you see in Jesus, that there is peace, that there is joy, that there is love, then there has to be a response. But there's a flip side to that as well. If you're not experiencing God's love and joy, how are you going to worship him? And it's not to say that we should not worship him. We should always worship God. There's nothing that should keep us from worshiping, even being in prison, even lying on our deathbed. That is not a reason to say it's not going well with me. But it can go really terrible with you, but you could still honor God for what he's done in your life, because you've already received the greatest gift that this life is able to receive. And that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, that died for us on the cross and paid for our sins, that we do not have to bear the price of that sin on our own. That is the greatest gift that God has given us. And he showed it to us through his Son. Because that is the reason that Jesus died on the cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is that part of that response that Josh spoke about. And there's so many things that we are called to worship. We are worship beings. You can just look at a concert, listen to music. It will not be long before your feet, even if it's a silly, crazy song that you don't like, there's something in us that's been made to worship. But there's a specific path for that worship to flow towards. That music is great. Nothing against music, but music should not give us the glory. It can help you feel good. It can help you do certain things when you're feeling down. It lifts you up. Music can also bring you down. That just shows that something in us is wired in such a way that we want to worship. We have to worship. We are compelled to worship. But the question then becomes, what are you worshiping? Are you worshiping yourself? Or are you worshiping something greater than yourself? And then JP touched on something, worship as a form. And that's almost exactly the same. Where does this worship flow from? is it, and that's part of the reason why he did what he did last week. He stopped the tradition, and he spoke about it. I read his sermon. I wasn't yet to be able to hear it, but I would have loved to hear it. But it speaks of that function that you are supposed to, and I just also touched on it, that you, that's a response. It is not a law. We have to worship now. It's 9 o'clock, we have to start now. And there's nothing with being wrong with being on time. It's good to be on time. But that is not the point. The point is, why are you doing what you're doing when you worship? Why are you raising your hands? Why are you not raising your hands? Why are you singing loudly? Why are you not on your knees? Why are you on your knees? What is your response? What is your heart? What is your, what is this thing inside of you saying you, of you? I'm not saying now look at the people around you and see, okay, what they're doing. Okay, they're raising their hands. Okay, I'm going to raise my hands. Why are you raising your hands? It's a response, yes. But if it's just a response to do, okay, he's doing it, so I'm doing it. He's got two hands now. I have to go two hands. I'm making a bit of fun of it, but sometimes you're in that place that you don't know what you're doing here and don't know what you're supposed to do, so now you just respond, okay, he's raising hands, okay. And I was like that. Also, when I first came to Charismatic Church, it was like, what are these people doing? Okay. But as you learn that form of worship, that response, it gives you freedom. It brings you to a place where you can really connect with God in a way that you normally cannot. And there's a huge blessing for us as a church when we come together and we worship as such. Because God indwells the praises of His people. Meaning that God is here with us in a special way. Not the only way, but a special way. And that is when worship truly takes form, brings something to us that we're supposed to give worship to God and honor to God. It's the only thing that we can give to God that He cannot give Himself, is to honor God, to glorify Him. And in that, it changes something in our hearts and our minds and how we do things and how we approach God, what we think about God. Because there are many thoughts in your mind when you start worshiping. But what are those thoughts? What are you thinking? And today I'm concluding this three-part series with worship and the Holy Spirit. And that's why I said it's the easiest sermon and the most difficult sermon. Almost rolled into one. Because basically I gave up my sermon yesterday and I said, God, I cannot do this. Because this is something that we have to realize as a church. Worship is something significant and special. But we sometimes miss that point, that mark, where we completely miss God in our worship. Is that possible? Yes. You can so enjoy the band, so enjoy the music, so enjoy the atmosphere, that you're just singing the words. There's no connection. And that is what God is all about. He is about connection. He is about relationship with us. And that's a special relationship. It's a special connection. It's not something that is everyday, run-of-the-mill tradition, something that you do. If we can have that connection that we've been called to, it changes our lives completely. I know some of the most amazing experiences that I've had in worship was such an amazing place where you can just really experience the presence of God in a tangible way that you have to respond. I remember our drummer, Etienne. We had one worship session and it was, you could really feel the presence of God, and he was on the bongo drums playing. And at one point he just stopped and he fell to his knees and he started crying. And I'm not saying worship is, if done right, this happens every time. I'm just saying worship allows things to happen. It allows God to move in a specific way, in the way that we think, in the way that we perceive things. And that is something that God really wants to show us, to say, but how does this work? How does this worship work when done correctly? It changes us. Because that is the most amazing part, that worship done correctly does not change God. It does not change His attitude towards us. It does not change the way that He thinks about us. It's the same. He loves us. Even in the midst of our sins and desolation and destruction, He loves us in that place. He doesn't love the circumstances that we find ourselves in, or the death that we've spoken over ourselves, and over our families. But He loves us. He's calling us. He wants us to come towards Him to receive the life that He wants to give to us in that fullness. He wants us to walk in that place where we know that God loves us. And I sometimes feel in my life that is the biggest struggle that I have to struggle with, to say that, God, do You love me? How do I know this? Because I keep forgetting the cross completely, every time. Because I think of my life and I look in this bubble and I think there's so many things happening, so many things that I struggle with, so many things that I have to keep up with, that you forget to go to God, to spend time at the foot of the cross. You've already received the greatest gift. It's yours. It's mine. But we tend to lose that focus. We tend to lose that connection. That God is able to speak to us and say, but your circumstances do not define you. I do. But only if we listen to God. And that is the greatest gift that we've received. But it only becomes a precious gift if you also accept the giver of that gift. You cannot accept God's grace and mercy and reject God's truth. Reject God. Reject Jesus. Reject the things that He wants to tell you, whether through His sermon, whether through His word, whether through His Holy Spirit. And that is the main focus of today. Because the Holy Spirit has such an amazing anointing upon our lives, if we allow Him. And that is part of that gift that we've received, that God gives us. It is not something that is hidden somewhere for us to go and seek and find and hopefully find it before we die. It is available. You just have to say, God, I need Your Spirit. There is no other way for me to live through this life, even if I have received Your salvation. Because you can lose your salvation, for those of you that don't know it yet. Nobody shocked? Good. It means you've received some truth of that. Because you cannot continue in your lifestyle that you came from, accept Christ, and then continue in that lifestyle continuously. Something has to change. Something has to give. But what is that change? Because there's something in us. And I quickly want everybody to close their eyes. Close your eyes. I can see your eyes, so. I just want you to focus on yourself. Who you are, who JP is, who Skola is, who Ronaldo is, who Vex is. Now look inwardly towards yourself. Do you experience, do you perceive that there is something in you that is eternal, that will not, cannot die? It is part of who you are. It is you. It defines you. That is your spirit. You can open up your eyes again. Did you perceive it? Did you feel it? If you did not, come to me afterwards. I'll sit with you and I'll help you with that. Because that is one of the critical components of today's sermon. That there is something inside of you that is eternal. There is something inside of you that this world cannot touch. But so many times it's getting, that part of you is getting pushed down by circumstances in life, your sin in life, sin of other people in your life, rejection in your life, and just makes you feel unworthy. It makes that eternal part of you feel small. And that is the way that the life works for everyone. It is pushing you down to making you feel insignificant. And so many times we want to respond by, if I get more money, I will feel big. I will feel important. Yes, you might. You might feel powerful. But after a while it fades. It's like buying a new car. It's a blessing. It's great. But after a week, it's an old car. It's not a new car anymore. Are you back to square one? How do I feel now? Now I have to get another new car. I have to get another new job. I have to get do this, and I have to do, I have to get, I have to find, I have to supply, I have to build this emptiness inside of me. And instead of building it, I'm just pushing it further and further down. Because we do not realize what this connection is meant to be. But so most of you, hopefully all of you, have received something. Because you've made a choice. And you received a small portion of truth. That God loves you. That He gave His Son to die for your sins upon the cross. And the moment you realize that, something changed. Whereas your spirit was feeling it was drowning in some despair, something in your life, heartache, pain, fear, whatever that was, is when Jesus touched you, when your heart changed, when you came to salvation, there was that moment of something changed. I experienced life. I experienced joy. I experienced peace. Now, maybe you, like JP, you know exactly what date, what time you got saved. I have to confess, I have no idea when I got saved, or I've got no date, no time. Because I've been saved so many times. But I can remember the first time I went to Shofar, and they called me to the front for prayer. I didn't want to leave there. Because I felt such joy, I felt such peace. The people wanted to drag me away. I said, no, go. I want to stay some more. Because I just left that space. Because God touched me in a way that I felt something's changed. I don't want to leave this place. And it was simply because now emotionally I was attached to that space. Because God touched my spirit and I had a heart-to-heart with God. And I equated it to the space I was in. Maybe that's why I'm still in Shofar. No, that's a joke, but that's many times. Because we are a three being, we are a tri-being, meaning the body, our emotions, our minds, and then we've got the spirit, this thing that I asked you to look into yourselves and find. And that spirit is the main component of who we are and why God created us. It's not this thing. It's not our emotions. Emotions make up who we are. It's an important part, but it's not something you can throw away and say, I follow Jesus now. I don't have emotions. I'm like a robot. We are not. God created us the way we are. And that's the way, and that's part of that beautiful thing that Josh also touched on. It's the response. I think he made an example. What was that example, Josh? I can't remember now. If God created us to be machines, we will just respond in the way that we created us. But there's no choice. But because he's a God that has given us free will, we have a choice in how we respond. Does that make sense? Because he created us. But he also said, but this is who you are. I created you to be in that way. I made you in the mold of Vicks so you can go play rugby at Eismare, was it Vicks? Eisfisser. Ooh, big mistake there. Sorry. Same here? Ooh. But he's molded you into what you are, and he wants to use you in that mold. Because he created you for a purpose. And so many times this world wants to tell us, you're nothing. You can do nothing. You mean nothing. And unfortunately we see that. Sorry. We see that when parents reject their children. Don't love them. Now, the reason I'm crying is because Monday, the boy that we were praying for that was bitten by the snake, he passed away. And that just triggered in my heart today because we really trusted the Lord to really come through and be the change there. And unfortunately, there was a reason that he said no. And we have to accept it. And we have to worship God in that. His funeral was yesterday, and he was loved. And it was such an amazing place where God just wanted to speak his blessing through people. And this small boy's life was such an amazing testimony of God's goodness. The amount of people that prayed for him, it was staggering. And now you can be like me and ask, but God, so many people prayed, so why didn't you respond? But then the focus becomes us and not God. We say, God, your will be done, not our own. And it's hard, it's difficult. I think it's 100 times more difficult for the father and mother. But it's a good place to know that he was loved. That's probably why my heart is so broken today. But that is the place that God wants us to connect with him, because he has that father's heart. He loves us more intimately, more passionately than our parents or our wives or husbands can ever do. But that is the point that we have to get to today. Worship in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, let us read in John, is it 9? Let me just get to my notes. It's John 16. If you can just bring it to the, I think it's from verse 5 to, please read with me. John 16, verse 5 to 15. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment and of sin. Because they do not. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said to you, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Just go back to verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And this is who the Holy Spirit is. He is our helper. But he also brings truth. And this is part of why I gave up yesterday on my sermon. And it pertains to something that I've been doing this whole year. And it speaks of the fact that everything I've prepared, I could bring to you. I can even show it to you like I've did now with Scripture. And tell you this is what the Word of God says. These are the facts. This is the truth. What is truth? Who would be willing to answer that question? Just raise your hands. I'll bring you the mic. Seriously, I'll bring you the mic. I want to hear your answer. What is truth? I've been asking myself this question for almost 2 years now. What is truth? It's one of the famous parts that Pontius Pilatus asked Jesus. When Jesus told him, what I tell you is truth, then Pontius Pilatus asked him, what is truth? And Jesus did not respond. Not because he couldn't or wouldn't, but he realized there's something that needs to change. That's exactly why I just left my sermon and said, God, I will do this differently today. What is truth? There are many truths out there. Yes, the sun will come up tomorrow, but will it? This color is red, but is it? So there are many things that we have to ask ourselves, what is truth? The simple answer that I got is, whatever God tells me, truth is. Now that might sound contradicting, but meaning, if God gives it to you, you can trust it. You can rely on it. You can put your life on it. You can build your life on it. Me, I'm just a man. I can give you all the truth that is written in this book and tell you there is, it's a fact, it's written there, it's truth. But if God does not take this word and put it in your heart, and makes it part of who you are, it will mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that is what the Holy Spirit's function is to reveal the truth of God in this book. Because I've read this book many times. And there were times when I read it and I thought, this does not make sense. I cannot comprehend the truth that is written in here. And then the Holy Spirit comes and reveals it to me. And suddenly it's mine. It's my word. It's my truth. It's my hope. Because of that small word truth that comes through God, that comes through His Spirit, that is the Spirit of truth. And God is the God of truth. And that is what I want you to connect with today. Worship in the Holy Spirit can only happen when this truth sinks in. When you have that heart-to-heart connection with God. And how do we do that? How do we connect with God? I just want to read John 4 from verse 23 to 24. John 4, 23 to 24. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Just go to the next one. And Josh and JP touched on this. Then the question becomes, how do we worship in spirit and truth? I've given you some examples of what this means. And we're going to get very practical just in a moment's time. But that is what God is calling us to do. That when we worship in spirit and truth. And it is not limited to church and worship as a band. But it's a lifestyle. It's something that we can do wherever we go. I mean, it would be meaningless if the only place that we experience God and His fullness of joy is when we worship. Yes, it's an amazing place to experience it. But that's not the only place where God wants us to experience it. He wants us to take it home, to meditate on His Word, to take it to heart, to make it our own. And that is what is true worship. When true worship comes to the fore, when God is showing you things and you respond. Because there has to be a response. There has to be something that changes in us when you read this Word of God. If there's no change, there's no truth. And I can tell you 100 times that God loves you infinitely more than anybody than this earth can ever or ever will. But until the day that you experience that love, it will not change you. And like I've said, most of you, hopefully all of you, have experienced that moment of truth when you received the Word and you responded to it by saying, yes, I choose Jesus as my Savior. And there was something inside of you that came alive. But more than that, your spirit connected with God and it changed your life. And that's the only time when change will happen in your life is when God has touched you and spoke truth into your being and your being responds with saying yes and amen. There is no other way by which man can be saved. I would almost go as far, there is no other way by which man can be changed. Which is the same thing. For when we are saved, we are changed from death and destruction to eternal life and light. From fear. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And those are the things, when you read the Word, there's this constant pull. What God wants to do. Are you going to stay in the world and respond to the world? Or are you going to go and start responding to what God wants you to do? When God gives you Word. Because when God tells you something, I guarantee you, you're supposed to do something with it. Just like I'm sharing with you today, because I received this Word this morning from God when I said, God, I can't bring this sermon because it will be meaningless. God gave me this Word and said, this is what you must share. This is my response. Theo, can you just play that video? Just hold it a moment. Now, before we start, there's been something that me and Liesl has been doing and Marty. And I want to do it with you guys. But it's not in the way that we've been doing it. But it is precious. So I want everybody to close your eyes again. You trust me by now. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in this place. for every eyes, for all everyone's eyes that are closed, Lord God. You know everyone's hearts. You know everyone's fears, Lord God. You know their greatest fear. You know their greatest love and passion. You know everything about them more intimately than I will ever will, Lord God. But you know your people, Father. And your people know you for who you are, Lord God, that you are a God of love, of mercy, and so many things. And that is the thing that we proclaim when we worship you, Father. But Lord, I want to pray for your Holy Spirit to form a connection with your people today. Most of them are connected to you, Lord God. Some of them might not be. But Holy Spirit, I thank you for just the word that you will speak into their very beings. And it will be a word from you and only you. And as we worship, Lord God, I pray that that word will be something that becomes tangible for everybody, Lord God. That they will experience your love. That they will experience your goodness. They will experience your peace and they will experience your joy. Because you reveal your truth to them through your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you in this place to speak to every heart that is open to receive on you. For Jesus, just as Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. And whoever opens the door, I will come in and dine with you. Holy Spirit, you are knocking at every door of every heart in this place. Now I want you to respond to that knock while your eyes are closed. I want you to form a picture of Jesus in your mind's eye. Whether it's possible for you or not, whether it's just from the Bible, a small children's Bible, where you can see Jesus in your mind's eye, a picture of him, of who he is. Can you see him? And it's really important that you see him. It is not fiction. It's not a story. Because this is part of who the Holy Spirit is. He reveals Jesus to us. And the way that you see Jesus now is the way in which you are relating to him now. If Jesus is looking towards you, it means your relationship is really open and you're in a really good place. But if Jesus is turned away from you, it means something in your heart is not right. If you can't experience Jesus at all, it means that your heart is closed. There are so many aspects of who Jesus is and what that he wants to reveal to us, but only if we let him. He is a God of grace and gentleness. He will not force himself anywhere. He will only go where he is invited. God, I pray for every vision that they see of who Jesus is in their lives. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them. That you are able, Lord, to show exactly where that connection was lost for those that are struggling to see you. They're struggling to connect with you. Father, for those hearts that has never accepted you into their lives, Lord God, I pray that they're able just to perceive a small glimpse of who you are, the beauty of your face, the beauty of your hands that were scarred for them, and all that you've done for them. Thank you, Lord, for every revelation, for every picture that they can see of who you are. Holy Spirit, that you are welcome in this place just to speak that truth as we're going to worship now. I pray that you would truly reveal yourself in every aspect and that you are not far from them, that you will not run from them, that you are not hidden from them, that you love them with everything that you are and with everything that you have. You will love them. They must just come to you and give their hearts, open their hearts to your love, to your joy, to your peace. And I thank you, Lord, for that love.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.